Welcome to the Campbell Conversations. I'm Grant Reher. My guests today are two officials with the suburban town of DeWitt. Ed Michalenko, a Democrat, is the town's supervisor, a position he's held since 2008. He's also president of the nonprofit Onondaga Environmental Institute. Sam Gordon is the director of planning, zoning, and sustainability for the town, a position that he's held since 2014. Supervisor Michalenko, Director Gordon, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having us, Grant.
Well, Ed, let me start with you. I understand that the town of DeWitt has undertaken several new initiatives in the last year or so, and you've got some ongoing things. What do you regard as the one or two most important ones?
Well, we've got several projects that we're advancing. The Carrier Park project is one of them, and then right now we're trying to initiate what we call a village overlay district, and we're also looking towards constructing a solar farm on the town landfill.
Well, tell me a little bit more about each of those things then.
Okay. The Carrier Park project is a project that was fostered once the Carrier campus stopped manufacturing, and they had a recreational facility there. It's about 27 acres that we reached out to Carrier, and they donated back to the town. That has become the home of the Syracuse Challenger baseball program. So the concept is during the week, it's a community-based facility. The Challenger program in Central New York is the largest in the country. There's nearly 300 children that participate in that program, and they didn't have a place to play baseball. So this is one of the first fully integrated, handicapped, accessible facilities in the country. And then it's our goal on the weekend to promote recreation and tourism through tournament play. And so being located right next to 30-odd hotels, we feel there's a synergy there and an economic impact to the region. Some of our early numbers suggest we can generate about $2.5 million a year in economic activity in Central New York through tournament play. So again, on the weekends, we look at this as a revenue source, and then during the week, it's a facility that's unique to the challenged community.
And you mentioned two other things as well. Briefly tell us more about those, just so we know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
there.
The urban overlay district we feel is important zoning, and that's one of the things Sam can speak to, is how you want your community to look in the future. And so the zoning is a tool that we use to direct development into the future, and so we're looking to incorporate mixed use into a lot of the areas throughout the town that are important for our future and our future economy and development.
Well, Sam, then let me turn to you on that point, and I think this gets at something that I understand that the town and you have been working on in different ways, and that's you and Ed have labeled this the urbanization of the suburbs. And so perhaps what Ed's talking about plays into that. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, so DeWitt is a suburban community, and for most of its history, that was an advantage. You had businesses that were moving to office parks. You had people moving to single-family homes and new neighborhoods that are built throughout the town of DeWitt. In more recent times, the market forces have changed. And actually, I think we see the city of Syracuse in some ways has a competitive advantage. They have a market product that many people are looking for, right? So, for example, as the supervisor said, mixed-use development, which is something that downtown Syracuse has a lot of, and there's been tremendous growth in the residential population in downtown Syracuse. And in the town of DeWitt, we don't have that same type of development. We have, you know, big box retail, strip shopping centers, office parks, and single family homes. So what we've been looking at is if the town did have a center in the way that downtown Syracuse does, where would that be? And so we've been looking at the area along Erie Boulevard East in the town, where things like Shopping Town Mall are, and the historic Erie Canal corridor, and developing a zoning update that would allow for that kind of mixed-use development to happen over time there, as well as in the town goes from Jamesville in the south all the way up to the Syracuse Airport in the north. And in that larger area, there are multiple smaller centers where we think that type of development could also take place.
I'm Grant Reher, and I'm speaking with Ed Michalenko, Town of DeWitt Supervisor, and Sam Gordon, DeWitt's Director of Planning, Zoning, and Sustainability. Ed, there's been a lot of focus in this region on the city of Syracuse, its challenges, particularly regarding concentrated poverty, the school system, and its overall financial solvency and stability. And we've talked a lot about those programs, those problems on this program over the course of different programs in recent years. But I think one of the accompanying assumptions that many people in the area have when that topic comes up is that the suburbs, by contrast, are okay. That in fact they're thriving. That there's no problem there, and I wanted to push the two of you about that. What are the big challenges that you think face DeWitt as a suburb in the short term and then in the longer term? What are the things that you as officials are worrying about?
Well, we share a lot of the same concerns with the city. We are a very diverse town, as Sam pointed out. From north to south, we form the entire eastern border of the city of Syracuse. And many of our neighborhoods experience the same economic challenges that you would find in various locations throughout the city. We're also a town of 25,000 people, but we're a town of almost 50,000 workers. And so one of our economic challenges has been the transition. Many communities like a Pittsburgh, for example, or even a Cleveland, lost their industrial blue-collar jobs in the 70s through the 80s. Syracuse was very fortunate, and Central New York was fortunate in the respect that many of those traditional manufacturing jobs stayed with us for a much longer window. So we're economically challenged in the transition from that good-paying manufacturing base. And I always joke, I became an environmentalist because I used to look out the window at Light Rollaway, Lennox Companies, Lampson Corporations, Huffman Air Filtration, Rothbrothers Steel, Overdorf Foundry, and Bristol-Myers Squibb. And just to the side was Carrier and New Venture Gear and others. And I could tell you what furnaces were on by the sounds. Well, the bad news is all those jobs are gone. And so we're trying to infill with development that helps replace those jobs and helps maintain our economy. And so that's one of our major challenges as we go forward. In recent years, we've worked with Infocom, the Feldmeyer Group, and so there is a hope that manufacturing can exist into the future, but those large 5,000, 10,000 employee facilities are few and far between and not likely to return.
Sam, I'll get to you in a minute, but I just want to emphasize something. That first data point that you threw out there, I have to say it stunned me, and I guess that's on me, but I would have never thought that DeWitt has more workers than residents. I would have flipped that around. And so it's fascinating to hear that it's 2-1 the other way. But Sam, you were going to jump in on this.
Well, I think that most people in Central New York don't realize the concentration of industrial land that is within the town. And we have almost 60% of all the industrial land in Onondaga County is located in the town of DeWitt. And that's a legacy of what the supervisor was just talking about, all those companies that used to be located in the town. And what I see every day as a director of planning is that there are still, those businesses still do exist. The larger places like Carrier are, you know, much smaller, severely diminished. But the smaller companies that grew up to support the supply chains are still there. Mm. And they are manufacturing. They are successful on a smaller scale, but there's a lot of them. And we're also seeing a trend of high-tech manufacturers that are investing in the community. So the Inficom project, the supervisor mentioned, that was an expansion, a doubling of the size of an existing facility with clean room technology. And the Feldmeier company, they're in the process of constructing 130,000 square foot manufacturing facility currently in the town. And they actually manufacture stainless steel tanks that service the pharmaceutical industry globally. They're actually the largest manufacturer of stainless steel tanks in the world, and their headquarters are here in the town of DeWitt.
Hmm. And we still have Bristol-Myers Squibb and Carrier Corporation with a large pool of high-paying intellectual jobs that still exist in the area. And so we're doing everything we can to maintain and keep those jobs in central New York.
What about the town itself as an entity? Is it on solid financial footing, or does it face any kind of financial challenges that would be similar to the city of Syracuse? In particular, I'm thinking the one that you always hear about with the city is the cost of the retirement programs and those fixed things that are going to go off into the future and become even a greater problem in the future with a fixed or declining revenue base.
Yeah, we face those same challenges. 80% of our costs are labor, and so we've been fortunate in the sense that we've maintained the New York State tax cap now for 10 years and that our average budget growth has been less than 1% in that 10-year window. But labor costs continue to rise, and pension and health care costs have become a part of that. And so we have squeezed our non-labor budgets in this past decade. And that is one of our challenges going forward, because we're running out of room in the non-labor portion of our budget. And so as we go forward, we're looking for creative and inventive ways of offsetting that. And things like the Carrier Park project can be part of that. You know, we talked about all those industries that left. Today in the town of DeWitt, over $100 million in property value assessment is attributable to hotels. And so the recreation business, if we can foster that through projects like the Carrier Park project that keep those hotels viable and growing and paying taxes, will help maintain our budget into the future.
And, Sam, the kind of challenges that you and Ed were laying out for the town of DeWitt, is that basically replicated around the entire city, or are the problems, say, on the west side, the west suburbs, different in some fundamental way?
No other suburban town has the concentration of industrial land that we have. Mm-hmm. Some of the other challenges that we face are similar. There's been, something that's well documented is the decline in retailing nationally, and that's something that's impacted all of the suburban communities. You know, malls that existed in, the town of Manlius and Fayetteville Mall, or the Camillus Mall in the West End, or up in Clay, Great Northern Mall. You know, we're all seeing a transition in the retail environment, and that's impacting the town of DeWitt as well. And we have a shopping town mall, which was really one of the premier shopping destinations in central New York for many decades, and now it sits mostly vacant. And that is a challenge for us to figure out the future for that property. So we have been looking. That's part one of the areas that would be addressed by the mixed use overlay district that we are formulating. We see that the future of that site as a mixed-use center, and there have been transformations of former regional shopping malls around the country into what are called lifestyle centers, which basically are a combination of retail, entertainment, could be office and housing, so that you really create a new sort of neighborhood center out of a regional shopping mall.
You're listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO Public Media. I'm Grant Reher, and I'm talking with Ed Michalenko, the supervisor for the town of DeWitt, and Sam Gordon, the director of planning, zoning, and sustainability for the town. Ed, I'll direct this question to you, but it's really for both of you. When it comes to the relations between the city and the suburbs, it has struck me anyway in the conversations that I have had and listened to over the course of a number of years that there's a longstanding problem for the city of Syracuse, which is that the view of the city on the part of many, many people who live in the suburbs is that the city is problematic in some fundamental ways. And it's to be avoided when it can be avoided, and in the most extreme version of this kind of point of view, that it's beyond saving. You know, it's a lost cause. And I think that's a challenge to any regionally oriented approach to trying to address the city's problems. I wanted to ask you, first of all, is that perception on my part correct? And then what can suburban governments do to help address that problem while still being responsive to their constituents, who some of whom may hold those views? I mean, how do you negotiate that?
Well, I think that DeWitt is in a unique position because we have elements that are very much like a rural township, and so there are attitudes pervasive in the town that are similar to your outer suburbs. We also have neighborhoods that are contiguous with and adjacent to or adjoining many of the city's urban neighborhoods. And so we have similar problems and similar attitudes. So there's no one attitude to be found, but we are surely understanding of the challenges that face the city because we face very much the same challenges, maybe on a smaller scale. But we cooperate, I think, with the city and with the outer rings. So we might be the mediation between the two attitudes because, again, we do see and understand those challenges are real. But, you know, first and foremost, and I think the county executive has done a good job in trying to relay that message that without a healthy center, none of us have a future. And so it's important that the city and the suburbs work together on these challenges and solve these economic issues in as non-competitive of a manner as possible.
Sam, you wanted to jump in on that?
So one example of the way that we have been working together with the city in partnership is a project that we started in 2015 that's been called Elevating Erie. And that project has been focused on the historic Erie Canal Corridor that links the town and the city along Erie Boulevard East. So we actually worked with the city. We hosted an international ideas competition for that corridor to solicit ideas that would impact development patterns in the city as well as the town. And then we've been working collaboratively, again, with the city to carry that idea forward. And because of our partnership and because of the support that we've been able to get from the state through New York State Department of State, through Brownfield Opportunity Area Program that the city's been utilizing, we also have something called a local waterfront revitalization plan, and those two things are working together. Now the state has designated that corridor as part of what's called the Empire State Trail, which is a statewide recreation trail that's going to connect Buffalo to Albany and New York City to Montreal. And the state's going to be spending about $20 million in this corridor that will be linking the town and the city. And that's come about because we reached out to the city. We've been working, you know, hand in hand with them to really reimagine and reconnect to that history.
One of the things that pops into my head as the two of you are speaking is the idea then that the inner suburbs may be the best ambassadors to the outer suburbs in negotiating that that relationship. And so you might have I think, Ed, you were speaking to that before. If you've just joined us, you're listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO Public Media. And my guests are Ed Michalenko and Sam Gordon from the town of DeWitt. Couple topics I want to make sure that we squeeze in here in the last part. The first is prompted by last year's consensus report on local government modernization, and it stimulated in this region a renewed discussion and debate about the cost and effectiveness of the constellation of local governments and service provisions that exist here in central New York, in particular on this idea of whether a single metropolitan form of government would better serve the area. And that idea, I think it's safe to say, seems to be on hold for now. What I wanted to ask you in relationship to that, and we can talk about the idea of a single metropolitan government if you like, but the one thing I wanted to make sure that I asked the two of you about regarding this is it concerns the schools and the school systems. And Ed, you were talking before about how DeWitt and Syracuse are very close and adjacent and contiguous. But when it comes to the schools, I think that line is a bit bolder and brighter. And that was one of the rubs in the discussion about the consensus report, because they deliberately left the school systems out. And they said, basically, that's a bridge too far right now. Let's focus on this. And I think ultimately that torpedoed to some extent the consideration of this. So I wanted to ask, Ed, I'll ask you this. The DeWitt school system is very highly ranked. I mean, it's one of the things that people want to live in DeWitt for, and that line between the city and the suburb is real important to a lot of the parents who have bought homes there in DeWitt. How can that be navigated and negotiated? It strikes me as the local version of what in politics you call the third rail, right? And you touch it, it's like Social Security. You touch it, and then everything blows up. So.
Again, I think DeWitt is uniquely positioned, and we have two excellent school districts. One is the ESM school district we share with the town of Manlius, and the other is the JD district. JD is one of the more diverse suburban school districts, but if you look at its population, it is got underserved or minority populations in greater numbers than any of the other suburban school districts. So I do feel that there's opportunity there for an understanding to be reached with city school district leaders or others in that district. And then again, they're a separate governmental entity, which the town does not have any real control or authority. The ESM district is unique in the sense that it has a vocational training program, which is it's one of 11 schools in New York State that provides additional pathways where it recognizes not all students are ready to go to college. And so between those school districts, I believe there's opportunities to integrate and to cooperate with the city school district on those programs. Coming back to the larger picture of consolidation, so I just want to say that we have consolidated within the town of DeWitt with village government on police services, but we also work with surrounding governments through other programs like our highway department. We work with county DOT. We're working with New York State DOT. And we tend to cooperate more than people realize or understand with the other municipalities. And then we're also excited to work with the city in the sense that we've met with the new mayor, Ben Walsh, and there's a commitment for us to continue this ongoing conversation. The only other point I want to make about consolidation is that I think everyone's interpreting the consensus report that all the other governments are going to go away and you're going to be left with the existing county government. And I might be mistaken, but my interpretation is that and where consolidations have been successful is that you start with a clear or blank sheet of paper and you say, what would the ideal form of government look like? You develop that government and transition into that and all the governments go away so that there's no one winner and a loss of the others. And so
I want to point out when you talk about education in particular, so there is the public school issue, right? City school district, JD district, ESM. In addition to that, in the town, many of the private schools in central New York are located in the town. So you have Manlius Pebble Hill, Christian Brothers Academy, the New School, the Montessori School of Syracuse, Bishop Grimes. All of those are also located in the town and are part of that picture. You know, the students that attend those schools, some of them are city children. Some are suburban children. Some come from other towns and villages outside of the town of DeWitt. So I think that picture is, it's more complicated than just, public versus public. And I think that needs to be also part of the conversation. One other thing I'll say about consolidation, the town of DeWitt has prided itself on being progressive and thinking about its own codes and setting up the town adopted a new comprehensive plan, for example, in 2002. We just updated that plan last year in 2017. The town completely rewrote its zoning ordinance in 2008 and has continued to maintain and keep that up to date. If you go and you look at consolidation, in some ways, you have to prepare, I think is what the supervisor is saying. How do you still provide for, communities that want to have a certain level of control over, let's say, design or aesthetic control and not lose that to the broader community? And I think that's part of the fear that people have in the current framework that we have. People have a lot of control over the areas that they live in, whether they exercise it fully or not. And I think that's one of the things that needs to be explored as we're figuring out what the right form of government is.
One of the things that I wanted to explore, but we'll leave it for a future conversation, perhaps with a group of officials from different suburbs, is I-81. We didn't get to that, but we'll have to leave this conversation there. That was DeWitt Town Supervisor Ed Michalenko and Town Planner Sam Gordon. Supervisor Michalenko and Director Gordon, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to me.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
You've been listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO Public Media, Conversations in the Public Interest.
The Campbell Conversations, Conversations in the Public Interest, was hosted and produced by Grant Reher, engineered by Tom Fazio, and edited by Jason Smith. The Campbell Conversations is a joint production of the Campbell Public Affairs Institute at Syracuse University and WRVO Public Media. To learn more about the program or to hear previous interviews, visit wrvo.org/Campbell Conversations.